The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your dream is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Behind Binnington, there's 8 checks on the ice. It's crazy.
I mean, and the broadcasters too, how do they miss it? They're usually really good with that stuff.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson's like bang on, usually.
Mm-hmm. But it's a rush going the other way, and this is in defense of them a little bit as an analyst myself. You're concerned about calling the play and giving it the right sort of enthusiasm because Czechia has just gone up 3-2 on Canada. Mm-hmm. Not that that's an issue with those two guys. They're pros through and through. But you're watching other stuff, right? You're watching the breakdowns. You're watching how it all unfolded. And so maybe that gets away from you. But, I mean, Canada, I think, not that they get blamed for that. The referee should have picked it up.
Yeah, but I mean, there's enough as well. This is crazy. The amount of freaking staff they have.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to point out, because we have started recording, Mike Johnson, James Sharman just bashed you.
I did not bash Mike Johnson.
I love Mike Johnson. He's Mike Johnson. Terrific.
He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Him and Ray Ferraro are probably the best in the business. Anyway, we're talking about MLS today. Big weekend coming up. It kicks off.
Yeah.
We haven't checked Jimmy's mic. We want to see if he's in a cave still.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Oh, yeah, he's still in the cave. Still there.
Witness protection.
Well, while Jimmy gets his mic sorted out, we have a guest coming on very shortly, Kevin Egan from Apple and the MLS coverage forthwith. Another big season there. And it's going to be a weird season, like kind of broken up because of the World Cup. So 3 months or so. I think May 24th? I think is the last round of matches before they break for the World Cup. Is it May 24th?
Jeez.
It's around there.
Let me look while you're talking.
Okay. Sounds about right. Anyway, Inter Miami are favorites, by the way. I did look that up. No surprise. LAFC, second favorites, coming off a big Champions Cup win this week where they debuted Stefan Eustachio, who looked pretty decent actually in that midfield. So they won 6-1 against Honduras' Real someone or other. But anyway, is this going to be a two-horse race? I mean, last year, no one saw Philadelphia doing what they did in the regular season. Mm-hmm. This might be tougher for them this year, Dubs, Philadelphia, but it does seem to be, it could be a two-horse race once again.
I think so. And what I'm going to ask Kevin as well is MLS is always good for a couple of surprises. And Forrest talks about this continuously as well, that in franchise land versus clubs, you have the ability to rebuild and it's a clean slate, fresh start. But Inter Miami on paper might be heavier hitters and more powerful, more potent at all positions, like any blemishes or weaknesses that they had last year, but managed to score 20 goals in a postseason, you outscore your mistakes. They've shored up all of the weaknesses on that roster. So it's a scary, scary prospect if you've got a healthy Lionel Messi kind of leading the line there and with the acquisitions that they've had. But you also had like a San Diego FC and Kenneth Heiner-Moller, who is the technical director out there and comes on as sporting director of Canada Soccer. So you're always good for one of those surprises. So who will it be this year?
I like that. I like the surprise because last year it was Vancouver, correct? Especially, I'm not saying they were a full surprise, but it was a surprise to obviously our MLS compadres at Apple and everywhere else who had, who had the Canadian teams all down at the bottom. And I'm not saying there's going to be much of a shift for some of those teams.
Montreal, well, two of three were club, at the club very foot. Bottom. So
I think club foot. I think the other thing is on a housekeeping level, I think we should all do a list and send it out on our newsletter. So that's my challenge to our team is to make their pick public so we can then refer to them to see how we do.
And so that people can keep receipts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And so we can apologize, like Kale and Kyle ended up having to do at the end of the season, right?
Well, we will ask Kevin, actually, you know, where he rates Vancouver this time around and have they learned from their mistakes. Although Vancouver's got some changes, right? Some big players have left. There's some injuries there still. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of question marks with Vancouver. Michael Bradley's at New York, Craig, and the Red Bulls have like completely redone their squad. Tons of new players coming in there and a rookie head coach, so to speak. I know he's got some experience last season and the year before, but at this level, a rookie head coach.
Yeah. You know, the MLS takes some criticism because of their structure sometimes and traditional footballing sense. But like Amy was saying about surprises, you do get surprises every year and you just don't know what's going to happen. It's a little bit like the NFL. Where you just don't know one year to the next who's going to win it. Because, I mean, regular season is one thing, but then you get into the playoffs and all sorts of different things are happening and underdogs win. And certainly what you're doing going into the playoffs and your run and your momentum is a massive thing in MLS. So who knows?
Yeah. I think with MLS as well, as we all know, with a salary cap, a couple of pieces added to your squad changes everything for you going into the next season. And we've seen it so many times over the years, a team that's struggling a little bit, they get a couple of players and all of a sudden now they become playoff contenders. So you're right. When it comes to, you know, certain sports, it seems easier than it is in, say, European football. European football, you know that a Wolves is not going to be competing for a title or barely going to be trying to get it into the playoffs because it can't compete with the rest of the league.
Hey, they might steal a title though. 2-2 against Arsenal yesterday. I know. Stealing points from the Gunners. What?
What oh, are Arsenal doing?
Yeah. I don't know one Gunners fan out there who isn't a little bit nervous right now.
Not one.
City, not that far off and a game in hand. But yeah, and what's weird about MLS also is that, you know, there's so many more dominoes to fall in the transfer market. These aren't completed squads. It's that one league where, because of the window and the way it works, what you see now isn't what you're going to have in a month from now. So we can have all the preseason predictions we want, but if a TFC get a Josh Sargent over the line at some point, it's going to change a lot. There's other big names, you know, circulating there. And then, of course, with that big break at the World Cup and the window, the way it works there, it's just a strange year in that regard. Is it going to lose momentum? Are we going to miss the League's Cup? Is League Cup, is that even around this year in MLS?
I hope not.
No, it's around.
Is it? Even with the World Cup?
I believe so.
We're so engaged in that tournament.
I'm questioning.
Yeah.
You can ask Kevin about it.
Yeah. About the League's Cup, is it around this year?
That's right. Is it happening?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you were talking about LAFC. Ottawa Atletico had their debut against Nashville in the Champions Cup tournament, which was, you know, it's nice to see, even though there were someone emailed us, I think his name, Martin King. Thank you, Martin. But it was about the lack of promotion and lack of fandom at this actual stadium. So I always wonder, yes, it's first round, early season for these matches, but is that a good thing? I think that that's the bigger conversation and we'll get into it at some point, not today probably, but to have these matches so early that there's, you know, 18 people in the stands.
No, there was a reason why though, because they played the game in Hamilton because they're doing renos up at Ottawa Stadium. So they couldn't play in Ottawa. They had to play in Hamilton. So that's why they had limited fans. There was only, you know, maybe a few hundred fans that got to travel down. It's midweek. And that's why it was empty. I mean, if it was in Ottawa, I think it'd be in a completely different story.
Doesn't it say it all though, Jimmy? That the fact is that an Ottawa-based team can't play in their stadium. Okay, fair enough, it happens. And they have to go to Hamilton to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as if we have too few stadiums in this country.
No, it is. But they're doing major renovations there. They're fixing the ice rink. They're putting up new stands. And so it was actually, they started right after the CPL final last year. The next day, they started the renovations.
Well, that's why they finished it, right?
That night.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't, like, postpone the match when they probably should have done, given those conditions. Whitecaps played last night, too. Cartagenes and tied 0-0. It's not a bad result on the road. Hey, Dubs, I've heard nothing about Montreal this offseason, or very little. I know they made some moves. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there any kind of buzz whatsoever around FC Montreal?
CF Montreal. Who are you, GP?
Sorry.
GP can never get CF Montreal right. but before I get to Montreal, and we're going to have Ollie Brett on tomorrow, and he'll shed some more light on it. Also about François Legault and the provincial government putting in a bid for the National Team Training Center. Mm-hmm. So, or partnering at least with CF Montreal in that regard. But I looked up Leagues Cup. Okay, so 2026 Leagues Cup will begin on August 4th. So it's delayed until after the World Cup. And then teams advance through the tournament, played concurrently with MLS and League MX seasons leading up to a September 6th final. So it's a condensed Leagues Cup, but it's still happening.
And Dubs, while you're talking about that, Sharms, you are correct. 24th is the last game match day. And then the break starts May 25th for World Cup for MLS.
Okay. And it resumes when?
Well, that wasn't on the list of things to look up.
You got that schedule there. You got the first date.
Well, it's somewhere. Let me see. Okay.
Probably around there. Leagues Cup.
Yes. Oh, July 16th is when they resume. July 16th and 17th.
When's the World Cup final?
Oh, Jesus.
July 19th, I think.
19th, right? So what if the states are in the final? Won't be much buzz around the kickoff of MLS, will there?
No.
Just saying.
No. Kevin just arrived. He's in the green room. I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to let you fucking soccer nerds talk it up, and I'm going to jump. But it's such a pleasure. To always put you guys in touch. There, we're going to do this.
There we go.
A little bit of this, and I'm out of here. I'll see you guys.
See you, Wonger.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Cheers, Dan.
Hey, Kevin. Welcome back, mate. Good to see you.
How are we? All good. Yeah. Happy New Year. Can we still say that?
Yes. I think you can. Sure.
No. But you know, it's kickoff for MLS, so we'll give you that. It's been a big off season. We're just saying, Kevin, how. With the World Cup, you know, making this a bit of a disjointed season. It's going to be an intriguing campaign. There's still so many dominoes to fall with players coming in and players leaving. It's the way MLS just works. But there's been some big moves. There's been James Rodriguez coming in, Dane St. Clair to Miami as well. I'm going to get this wrong. German, but is it Bertirame? How do you pronounce this guy's name?
Herman Bertirame.
Oh, so close. Herman Bertirame. Eustachio. Really. To LAFC, Timo Werner to San Jose. What is the one transfer, the one new face that you're going to be keeping a close eye on this season?
Oh, there's many, James. I think Bertirame, though, is a piece that, like, by adding that, it's a simple flex. And Inter Miami this offseason, I think they've edged toward what we see from Bayern Munich in Germany, what we see from PSG over in France, where they look around, they go, oh, Dane St. Clair is available, yeah? Well, they're offering him more, but we've got Messi, we've got like these superstars here. We just won the championship and Dane's like, yeah, I'll go there. Tristan Blackman in Vancouver, like his head was turned seemingly for a while because Vancouver or Miami were expressing interest. So maybe there's a little bit of that now of like the Manchester Cities in the Premier League where they can just pick off a Mark Gay and pick off a couple of the guys they want. And it's up to all the other owners and all the other clubs in MLS to keep up now. If Miami are going to push the envelope this far, it's up to other teams to really keep up. Catch me if you can.
And in a way, it's almost a bellwether for what's to come for Inter Miami that after Messi leaves, there's all these questions about what they will look like. What will their identity continue to be? But they're proving now that they will still be relevant. They'll still be heavy hitters in MLS.
And even before, before Messi joined Miami, they still had Higuain. you know, who had a phenomenal career, one of the best strikers of his generation. Blaise Matuidi, a World Cup winner with France. So they still had so many talented players come through, but not to the level of what we're seeing right now. And I honestly think just from a roster build standpoint, they're so deep in what they have. So they're well able to compete on all fronts. Bringing in Ashala from Portland is a good depth piece alongside Brighton midfield. Obviously, Rodrigo de Paul is there full-time now. I think it's great to see. And like, it's one of those things for me where I want to see teams pushing it. I want to see teams like really pissing off the fan bases of other clubs, because that's
Miami does that.
Yeah, but good. Good.
Yeah.
Because if that adds more pressure on, say, for example, Toronto fans are like, all right, you know, Jason Hernandez and Robin Fraser in the front office, let's go. We need more players. Good. That should absolutely be happening. The more pressure, the more quality we'll see, the better standard of product we will see down the line, for sure.
So what club is disappointing you then?
Pardon, Jimmy?
Sorry? What club is disappointing you where you think, I wish they would spend some money and start?
Montreal. I still think Toronto need to do more work while we're speaking with you guys up in Canada. I still think Toronto need a little bit more work. You know, they bring in, I need to make sure I'm saying it right here, Aristizabal. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Emiliano Aristizabal. Looks good.
You're asking the wrong people.
Yeah, looks a good talent. But Vancouver, probably I expected a little bit more work from them, especially given that, you know, you get so close to winning it all. A dream season last year in so many ways, making the CONCACAF Champions Cup final and MLS Cup. And you lose Jaden Nelson, who I think is a top young talent, and Ali Ahmed as well, who's been brilliant since going across to the championship. So I'd expect a little bit more work from Axel Schuster in Vancouver, but it probably still will come. And that's the weird thing about MLS is that, you know, like New York City, for example, last year sold Santi Rodriguez, their best player, on opening day. And rallied, and they bring in Nico Fernandez-Mercado mid-season, and they go all the way to the Eastern Conference Final. So you can add at the right time, and you can peak at the right time, and maybe a lot of clubs are planning for the summer when it's easier, obviously, to sign players.
We were talking before you came on, Kevin, about surprises and what MLS does have, and they get a lot of criticism for their structure and whatnot, but there's always a surprise. Who do you see being the surprise team that underperformed over last year or over the last couple of years?
I could see Chicago making a bit of a run this year. I think under Greg Berhalter last year, massive improvements, back in a playoff picture for the first time in donkey's years. I mean, they had one single playoff game between, you know, last season and 2012. Embarrassing. For a city of Chicago's size and the football community, quite honestly, I lived there for 7 years. My wife's from there. My mother's from Chicago. And there's a huge footballing community there with the Polish, the Mexicans, the Irish. And they weren't galvanized by the fire, but I think that's starting to happen now, especially with a downtown stadium set to open in 2028. There's a real movement there behind the great owner that is Joe Mansueto, who's willing to spend big. And there's massive links now to Robert Lewandowski. And they've obviously had talks with Neymar in previous years, Kevin De Bruyne, and they want that superstar in Chicago. But I think the roster is much better than it has been in previous years. They've added good depth pieces. And in Kuipers will score goals, Zinkernagel, Bamba, a few new players too. I think they could be a team to watch. And out west, I actually think Austin should be significantly better than they were. Maybe it's a sneaky pick that may bore some people, but Austin, with bringing in Facu Torres, who was Orlando's best player for quite some time, and Jaden Nelson, I think can take another step. I don't know what you guys think about Jaden Nelson, but I see something there. And I know other people do too. I'm just curious about him. Like, what does he need to do to become an elite player within the league?
Needs to be consistent. Yeah. I think that's Jaden's problem. I think he's a little bit too up and down. I think if he can get to an environment where he's playing week in and week out and he's consistently performing, I think you'll start to see more value from Jaden Nelson. I think with Savi as well, though, who played last night for Vancouver, I thought he did very, very well. He's very dynamic. You know, his movement was good. So I think he's going to be a good replacement. But yeah, they will miss Jaden Nelson. But for me, the big thing with Jaden, he just has to be more consistent than what he is.
Yeah,
we had him on the show actually. Sorry, Kevin. We had him on the show a few months ago now, and he's talking about his bit of a journeyman, right? And went to Europe and how he relearned about himself and about how what it takes to be a professional. and how he wasn't ready at that point. And now going to Vancouver, he's really learned that mindset shift to get that consistent performance out of him, because that was his issue. And that's like a young player, right? But he's not that young anymore. That's the thing, right? He's got to now hit the turf running, so to speak. And I think, like Jimmy said, that's the biggest issue.
I just think the benefit of being, you know, under a guy like Sorensen and at the club that Vancouver was throughout the entirety of last year, you're going to develop as a human being, because that just seems to be the culture that Jesper Sorensen sets within the organization. And we had him on, Jaden Nelson, on one of our Countdown to 360 shows, and he just seemed like such a great kid. He seemed like such a really likable, good guy. And we're all rooting for him in there now. We all said afterwards, like, this guy has the talent. He's clearly got the personality. And now maybe you're right. Maybe now if he's in the team week in, week out, and Facu Torres is on the other side, and you know how it works when there's a really good baller on one side of the pitch and you're playing on the other side, you could see a lot of the ball. You could see a lot of space. So hopefully we see the best out of Jaden Nelson. And with that, you know, Mirto Ozuni's second season, Brandon Vasquez will be coming back. I think Wolf and Pereira are two of the best young midfielders in the league that can take another big step. So Austin could be a sneaky pick here to finish inside the top four in the West, I think.
So many great Canadian storylines, and none more so than LAFC, right? Yeah. Who are, you know, rivaling Inter Miami as being the most hated team in MLS, because they procure who they want. There was that talk about Bouanga leaving that they retained him this year, but Canada South is kind of the team to watch, I think, for us Canadians this year. Can they go one step further? Are they the biggest threat from the West, in your opinion?
Yeah, without a doubt. They're the favourites to win the West, for sure. And it's not just Sonny Bouanga, who, by the way, midweek looked in mid-season form already. Eustachio, it looked class in midfield. And I think he's going to add an awful lot in that midfield next to Tillman. So then you look elsewhere around that team, and I just think they've got quality. Like, David Martinez can take another step further forward, Ordaz too. And the big question mark now is around Mark Dos Santos. And I think Mark, for me, I'm really excited to see what he can do, because I remember a great friend of mine, Richie Ryan, was playing up in Ottawa, and Mark Dos Santos was his coach. And he just said to me, Kev, he's the best coach I've ever worked for. He, as a person, he's tremendous. The detail he gives us is top class. And obviously they've seen within LAFC that this is the guy that can take over, you know. And I remember Aaron Long was in with us in studio, and he alluded to one of the assistants being the guy that should take over. And he didn't say who. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking it was Mark Dos Santos, and then he gets the job. So I'm excited for Mark Dos Santos, because this is the job that so many coaches, honestly, around the world would love. A chance to go to LA and work with this dynamic duo up front and a solid squad elsewhere as well. LAFC, you know, on opening day now, should put on a bit of a show against Miami. It's our Walmart Saturday showdown. It's first one of those at the Coliseum, packed out crowd, hopefully, and a really good game and a great test for Mark Dos Santos against the champions to kick things off.
I wanted to stay with Mark Dos Santos for a second. Our friend Cara Lang, an ex-international for Canada who covers LA Galaxy and LAFC, being a Canadian herself, this was kind of a big statement to make. She said, just given what Thornton has done, what LAFC has done, and the acquisitions that they have, the juggernaut that they're building down there, that it was a bit unambitious to promote Dos Santos from an assistant to a head coach, that they should have gone bigger in their appointment. So yeah. I think everything that you just said about Dos Santos, I think, contradicts that statement. But do you think there's more pressure on him now?
Yeah, of course. But, like, look through history. It was unambitious when Barcelona gave the job to Pep Guardiola, wasn't it? and look what happened after that. So sometimes we're not in the weeds. Us fans, journalists, broadcasters, we're not in the weeds like they are there. And I can be sure at a club like LAFC that they would have consulted maybe with Son, maybe with, you know, one or two of the more senior players. And Mark Dos Santos was obviously the popular pick as a coach, as a person. He understands what went so well in the second half of last season. Obviously, they fell short in the playoffs, but something was going really well. And the brand of football that they were playing was great. Now, the criticism of Steve Cherundolo's team, I think, was that they didn't control the ball enough. They didn't control the game enough. I was talking to Bradley Roy Phillips a few days ago, and he said, I didn't see sequences where I thought, right, this is the LAFC brand. Oftentimes it was just get it. Son and Bouanga were off running. And a part of me is like, as the non-former pro, saying, well, what's wrong with that? If it's working, like, surely. And he said, no, but in big games, there's going to be moments where you need to rely on patterns of play, and moments where, you know, you've got a certain style of play to lean back on. And they didn't really have that. So that was the big criticism. But I think that Dos Santos seems to be a very detail-oriented coach. Now he's got the team. This is your big chance. And you're absolutely right. Like, Amy, there is pressure to kick things off on him. But I think there should be more pressure on the other coach in Los Angeles after what played out last year with the LA Galaxy, having won the title the year before. Greg Vanney gets a brand new contract in the middle of a disastrous season. Ricky Pooge out again, but the pressure needs to be on Vanney significantly more.
Yeah, they've made some nice defensive signings, though, this offseason. The Galaxy will be interesting. Is it still going to come down to the Whitecaps and the LAFC? I know you mentioned the Whitecaps still with some business to do, but there's so much noise around that team. But this time last year, you guys wrote off Vancouver, just to remind you. It was well publicized up here, by the way.
The only one that's ever been going out of his way to, like, properly go all in on the Whitecaps is Bradley. But even Bradley Roy Phillips had them at like sixth or seventh last year to finish in the West. And look, you guys didn't see what was coming from the Whitecaps. No. There's no way final spot, MLS Cup. Like, this team was just not only playing the most attractive ball in the league, like, you talk about style of play for LAFC. We all saw that fairly quickly from Jesper Sorensen's team. I'm looking up Jesper Sorensen at this stage last year, wondering, you know, and I'm sure you guys were too, what does this guy have to offer? How is he going to take them to another level? They haven't invested significantly like, you know, a new coach would want. And then we see certain players playing out of their skin. Like, the football Sabi was playing at the end of last year, we said on our MLS Cup broadcast, I'm fairly sure, Sabi to the US men's national team shouldn't be one of those things that we're not talking about. Like he was playing at a level that obviously the potential too, that he can go to another level, but also he's a player that I don't think the US men's national team have the qualities that he has. I don't think there's another player exactly like him. So I kind of was pushing that one a little bit. So if Sabi starts well again, I'll be pushing Sabi to the U.S. Men's National Team.
Do you think the fact that Vancouver has not sorted out the business side of where they're going to be and a stadium and will they stay in Vancouver, will they not, do you think that affects the team this year?
Well, I think it could affect recruitment, though, couldn't it? Like, if you were a player... Yeah, yeah. And you're a top player and you're being recruited by, let's say, for example, I don't know, Chicago's a bit far, but like Miami now, for example, have the new stadium coming in, or New York City, new stadium next year. Or you look at somewhere that's got an incredible training facility and stadium set up, the fan base are set up, like a Columbus or Cincinnati. Or you can go to Vancouver. Look, Vancouver, I want to go live in Vancouver right now, today. I want to move and go live in Vancouver. But as a club itself, you want a little bit more stability. So when you see those headlines, it is concerning. But all the signs, I'm not on the inside, but all the signs you hear from Don Garber and you hear from the club, hopefully we're close to a resolution there.
Let's hope so. I mean, like I said, same noise this time last year, right? And they managed to put that to the background and, you know, succeed regardless.
Does the team help, James? Like, given the year, does the success of the team help create more noise around this and force the issue a little bit more?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, listen, Axel, he's pretty strategic, right? When he speaks for a reason, to put pressure on certain areas. And I think perhaps at times that may have rubbed some people the wrong way, recently in particular. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, depending who you speak to, some people have this existential crisis regarding Vancouver. Yeah, they're leaving. It's typical of Canadian sports. Oh, my God. Because we've got big chips on our shoulders right up here. Big chips on our shoulders. We haven't got the stadiums. There's a problem. Others say, no, they're going to figure it out. Vancouver and BC is the hub of soccer in Canada. It's got the history. Yeah. It would be a tragedy if they were to leave. But I think that noise will be in the background throughout the season. But a successful season will certainly dim it somewhat.
Yeah, here's hoping for because the Whitecaps faithful, when we were in Miami, and they were just class. They were class. We had a show a couple of days before, maybe the day before MLS Cup, and so many of the fans came by for a live show, and I just loved them. I just loved interacting with them, chatting with them, having a laugh with them. Their football knowledge was top class, and I just hope that they get that stadium they deserve, their to call home, you know, because the team obviously. is going in the right direction with Axel Schuster pulling the strings and Jesper Sorensen. You want to see this team backed right now.
Absolutely. All right. So just to my final question regarding this season, it's a weird one, like I mentioned there, with the World Cup bang in the middle there. Then we're joking around. We've got the League's Cup, of course, coming up in August as well. Is it going to be, you know, I know with the Olympics, for example, with hockey, throughout this season, we're all kind of just hoping the stars stay healthy. And it's taken away a little bit of the enjoyment from the season for me. I'm a Maple Leafs fan, so it wasn't very enjoyable to start with. But
it never is.
It never is. But do you think there's going to be a little bit of that this season?
Yeah, of course. Because look who's playing in the World Cup, whether it's, you know, Messi, Son, or you want to hone in on a guy like Steven Moreira, you know, who was Defender of the Year in the league, who's playing for Cabo Verde, you know, or Danny Jean-Jacques at Philadelphia is the main man for Haiti. Yeah. Like, this is their dream coming true to represent, nations like Haiti haven't been there since 1974. Cabo Verde or Cape Verde, wherever you say it, they haven't been there ever. You've got nations like Uzbekistan coming in and Jordan. So there's going to be players throughout that. The Major League Soccer is so represented. I think it's going to be the second most amount of players from any league in the world will be at the World Cup from MLS. And you know, that you want to see them enjoy it. You want to we get one go at this life. You want to be able to play at the biggest World Cup ever for your nation, especially if it is like a Haiti or Cabo Verde. So hopefully they can all stay fit. But yeah, you're right. There probably will be a tentative approach in many ways. Hopefully that's not noticeable on the pitch though.
Well, Kevin, listen, thanks so much, mate. Really enjoyed this. Love your coverage on Apple. And another new season. It's going to be exciting as hell. Into Miami, the big bad Into Miami. I love that. I'm sick and tired of parody in sport. I don't like parody. This is good. Let's get some hatred, some rivalry.
3 years working with them. We need heroes and villains. We absolutely need villains. And the villains are always more interesting. They just are. A lot of people like being the villains. And I guarantee you right now, Javier Mascherano, who's a villain throughout his football playing career, Lionel Messi. Who would have thought Messi would be the villain in all of it?
That's why we're so conflicted though, right? It's so conflicting because I want to hate Inter Miami. I really do. Rodrigo De Paul, I can't stand him. But then they got Messi. Can't hate Messi.
I know, but people are now. It's funny how quickly, like Messi, you know, if he's in the face of the referee or he's talking to the opposing players, like people have quickly shifted on Messi. And like Son Heung-min then is the ultimate like baby face. You know, he's
can do no wrong, right?
Oh, he's the most likable guy in the world. Like, I don't know anyone.
Who's more likable, him or Miller? I mean, Miller in Vancouver is pretty likable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think Sonny, though, it's hard to beat Sonny.
Like, did you see Son after a game last year when he sees a dog on the pitch and he runs over and he starts just playing with the dog? You're like, come on, this guy's a joke. But then you see Muller interacting with the reporter Sarita the way he does and the fun he has with Halter, and it's just that's so enjoyable to see too. And we need characters. We need these people to take on, like Diego Luna is a young up-and-coming US star and he's a real character. So footballers, if I could ever give them one piece of advice aside from the actual job itself, which is to perform well, it's to embrace the media. Embrace like being a character and show your personality, because there's a hell of a lot of, you know, there's a life to live beyond the game, and you could give yourself a massive opportunity by just embracing it all and enjoying it and allowing us as broadcasters, as we all are, to tell the stories of these people. So be as interesting as you can possibly be and lean into it. And I think we've seen that from real superstars within the league. And I look forward to telling these stories. We've got Countdown, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, so 3:30 over in the West Coast. That is our pregame show. And then MLS 360, I just love being part of that show. I love hosting it. It's a whip-around show, Red Zone style, a lot of fun. So 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, we'll get that going for the year again.
That is a fun show. I can imagine as a host, it's a ton of fun. Kevin, thanks so much, mate. Really enjoyed this. And we'll chat to you as the season progresses.
Yeah, can't wait. Love to come on anytime, guys. Appreciate you.
Say hi to Caitlin for us.
Will do. Cheers, Amy. Take care. Chris. All the best, James.
That is Kevin Egan, MLS on Apple. Yes, it all kicks off again this weekend. Yeah, there's so much to talk about regarding this league this season. I don't even know. I mean, we covered a lot there, didn't we? MLS, by the way, if you, this year it's different, right? Because on Apple, you get the whole package.
Apple, if you're a subscriber to Apple TV, you get MLS season pass.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. Do you like...
hopefully that'll get more eyeballs on it.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Craig, do you like parody or do you like villains and heroes? What do you like?
Do I like parody?
Yeah, or do you like the evil villains and heroes in
football? I think there's a good balance of parody in the league, which is good. And then you have the exceptions that like Miami and LA and that bring in the villain side of things that is also very important, like Kevin said.
It was TFC once upon a time. Jimmy left, by the way, midway through there. He had to jump, unfortunately.
On the chat, it was in there. He said, I have to jump at 9:15.
Okay. Fair enough. Wongo, did you enjoy that?
I did.
Kevin,
look, I have to say that guy could read me the phone book. I get like
great voice,
great accent, right? Good Irish accent. And he's got that a little bit of an American twang, a little bit. A little bit, but interesting enough, Kevin Egan also used to cover WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I'd be interested to hear some of those stories because that is a crazy, chaotic world of egos and drugs and
and narratives of heroes and villains.
Yeah. Right?
No, you're no parody in that, is there? No.
What is it called when you turn the heel? All of a sudden, not just Messi, but LAFC may have turned the heel this season.
Oh, I thought that was just Charms rotating in his chair.
Turn the heel.
Thank God I haven't got a spinny chair because I would be doing that constantly. Actually, you know what? WWE has been a great platform for a lot of great broadcasters.
Has
moving
it?
On from there. Oh, yeah. Jackie Redmond, you know Jackie from NHL Network?
Yeah.
Dubs, yeah, she's at the score. She did a lot of WWE.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever tuned into one of those things.
What are they called? No, me neither. It's not my thing. Although I know I'm watching right now. It's not WWE. I'm watching a movie called The Smashing Machine.
Yeah.
It's about Mark Kerr, who was one of the first UFC. And it's The Rock playing him, who's done an unbelievable job.
Oh, is that like the role that he really slimmed down for?
I don't know if he's pretty big in this.
Okay.
At this point, anyway. I haven't finished the movie. I'm like 50 minutes away. The fam came home last night.
Emily Blunt, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's a really great film and I'm really quite impressed by his acting chops. But yeah, give it a whirl. Now, like I said, it wasn't WWE. It was UFC, but regardless, kind of a segue. All right. Anything else you want to get to?
We should at some point hit on Vinicius Jr., but we'll talk about that another time. Yes. And what the response should be and how UEFA, FIFA get racism out of here. And it just seems to keep rearing its ugly head and how you battle it. I mean, you can't give up, but it's quite saddening, frustrating. Mm-hmm. All of those words, disappointing. And, you know, the more that people come out and say these things, as far as fighting back, it's great, but there has to be tangible punishments to make this go away. And I don't care. Make them for career-ending punishments. I don't care.
Yeah, and what's disgusting, for me, we won't dive into it, but is that a player, whether it's Vinny Jr. or somebody else, that they provoked the crowd, they incited the crowd, they brought it on themselves. Fuck off.
Because he danced at the corner flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't respond the way Jose Mourinho responded. That's what you don't do.
Tone deaf.
Yeah. A little bit.
Benfica. I got some white friends. I got some white friend Charms. So I'm not racist towards the white.
Yeah, precisely, right? Yeah, Eusebio. Eusebio was black. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's not the way to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, we shall move on. Tomorrow, by the way, more MLS. We have our faves, our MLS insiders, Asa Rahman, Ollie Brett, and John Molinaro. We're going to have five questions, just five questions for them each to answer about their clubs. Kind of not rapid fire, but kind of quickish fire, you know? Mm. Why are you grimacing there?
Like you with Tony.
I knew it was going there, so that's why I was waiting for Dubs to drop it.
She's been talking again, has she?
Dubs and Tony have their own dark web.
Seriously. Oh, God.
How was it this morning? Really, it was quick. It was dirty.
In the dark recesses of WhatsApp.
Unsatisfying.
The Amy and Tony show.
Oh, God. Awful. But yeah, so we're not sure what those five questions are just yet, but we'll give you a little background on TFC, on CF Montreal, and on the Vancouver Whitecaps. And that is tomorrow. That's Friday. So our thanks to Kevin Egan. Our thanks to Apple and MLS. And we'll chat to you later. Bye-bye.
I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but this morning I saw my new favorite event at the Winter Olympics. Ski mountaineering, nicknamed Ski-Mo, which made me, I'm coming full circle here, think of J-Mo.
Okay, what is
on Ski-Mo? Tomorrow's footy
is this
watch.
The one that they ripped stuff off?
Okay,
like
so
ripped it off their skis?
There's, yes, yeah, there's transition that. Zones, like in like a triathlon or something like that, where you're going from the swim to the bike to the run, but you start on cross-country skis. So only the toes are clipped in. You've got a little bit of a backpack. We have a backpack. So you climb up a hill and you go through it's like some obstacles. So it's hard to pass. Then you take your skis off, put them in your backpack, climb up stairs using your poles. Then you come to like another zone. And I think there's another little passage where there's some adjustment they have to put their skis back on, and a final transition zone where they clip the heels in, and it's fucking downhill, almost like a slalom to the finish.
Oh, wow.
So it took about, we watched women this morning, so it takes about 3.5 minutes, and it was brilliant.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like an obstacle course.
Sounds awful to do, though. It'd be so
Guess what, difficult. Though? No Canadians. So there's men's event, women's event, and then like a mixed event. And we've got no fucking chance of a medal in that.
Let me guess. Norway's looking good.
Yeah. Norway, yeah. Switzerland, France, yeah. Italy. Right. Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like a pretty cool event, but awful to actually compete in.
They should do this like on an old, hey, I'm going out tonight. Because it's literally, it'd be literally, hey, six beers in. Then you have to do you do a shot of tequila at each of these stops.
Well, JP already was throwing in some stuff in. He's like, what if like you're behind? Can you skip a transition so you just decide to like telemark it? Is that how you say it? You do telemarking?
Telemark.
The last bit without clipping your heels in, you just are like, fuck it, like go. And I'm like, they must have penalties. And so I know very little about this, but there's all kinds of possibilities for... I don't know, offshoots of it with beers.
Well, did you hear
shots?
What's that, Charles?
The Aussie broadcaster, she was doing a hit. It must be in the evening. And she slurred one of her words. And it turns out she'd had a drink before she went on air. But she missed dinner. And she had to apologize. Like, why? Come on. Give her a break. So freaking hot. She wasn't drunk. She slurred a little bit, apparently. And you know how it is. You know, you're there all day. You're busy as hell. You skip your dinner or have a very small dinner. Okay, have a quick drink.
Dubs knows all of that.
Do you remember? I was like, okay, I got to stop drinking now because I have 3 hours of sleep and then I'm on a game at 2 a.m.
all right. We'll try and say goodbye again here. That's Footy Prime.
Sorry, it's my fault.
No, it's right. That's good stuff, though. Mm-hmm. It's the stuff people love. They yearn for the extra stuff outside of them. We're back tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Like and retweet and repost and give us comments. And we'll chat to you tomorrow. Bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.